St. Pete's own Maura Sweeney, Ambassador of Happiness, is a world traveler and pioneer in the happiness movement. Maura Sweeney has addressed audiences in 15 countries and across the United States on personal leadership, influence, and the power of happiness in the workplace.
Hi, everyone. This is Maura Sweeney, and welcome to the latest in the ABCs of Now series. This series that I started a year ago, I thought would have been long complete in going through the letters of the alphabet in reverse, assigning each letter a word, and using each concept that came out of each letter and word as a means of, let's say, looking at, reviewing, re-editing some of the elementary ideas and thoughts we've all acquired over time that right now are kind of like sometimes hanging by a thread or by a string, or that are being greatly shaken during this era when so much is upon us of a different sort here in the world. And many of us feel like, ooh, the world isn't exactly what we thought it was. So I have been doing this series with each episode taking up another letter and word, and I have to tell you how shocked and astounded I am to look back and to think, oh, this series, I probably could have done a few of them a week. And instead, this time period that we're all experiencing of shift, of change on so many levels is as long, and I'm sure longer, than the ABCs of Now series is that I am putting together for all of you. Every single episode I would say, through words that come to me, pictures, ideas, and concepts, and I can't even pop them out at will. They come as they arise, and I'm very excited to report that here we have episode 20, and episode 20 is covering the letter G. So G, I thought, what's it going to be? And if you haven't already listened to episode 19 for the letter H, I hope you do, because it was all about He Will Be. And it was, from what I've heard back from friends and others who've listened, it's a very settling, encouraging, peace-delivering message. So I get to G and I'm thinking, okay, so what's that? And here's your word. G is for goodness. Goodness. And I thought, oh, that's quite interesting. Now, what I'm going to share with you today is, as I normally do, a few definitions, synonyms as well as antonyms, so you could actually get a greater feel and sense of these words. But in addition to that, I'm going to share with you some images, some pictures, an experience I had, and even an earlier remembrance, so that by the time we're finished with this particular episode, you'll have an idea of this word, gee, goodness. What does it mean? How do I find it and relate to it in my life? And if I don't have enough of it, how do I reclaim it and establish more of it as what's real for me? So are you ready? Episode 20 of the ABCs of Now, and G is for goodness. Well, let's look first at goodness. Goodness is defined as the quality of being morally good or virtuous. So right away, what you think of is something that is of a better character or quality. It's also, and this we'll get into later, the beneficial or nourishing element of food. Think about that. Goodness is the part of food that's beneficial and nourishing to us. Another definition for goodness includes excellence of quality. And lastly, that I wrote down, goodness is the best part of anything. It's its essence and its strength. So let me give you a few synonyms for that. Interestingly enough, they include friendliness, generosity, goodwill, honesty, mercy, righteousness, superiority, and virtue. Now, what are some of the antonyms or opposites of this word goodness? Well, they include corruption, immorality, meanness, handicap, hindrance, loss, indecency, and wickedness, which is quite interesting. And I'm just thinking right now, the root for wickedness comes from twistedness, something that's not straight. Okay, so we have an idea right now as to what goodness is and why we want to look at this word goodness. Here are some of the pictures, the images that came to me in the last few weeks as I was gathering info for this podcast. And the first thing that came to mind, of all things, I hadn't thought about it in years, was a homemade chocolate cake that had been made from scratch. Now, I grew up in the era where you could buy like Duncan Hines boxes and you could mix them with an egg and some oil and you had yourself a cake. I'm not talking about even something that is store-bought or something that you get at your grocery store in the freezer section from Sara Lee or anywhere else, and not taking anything away from Sara Lee. But I want you to think about this idea that I got, a homemade chocolate cake. Made from natural ingredients. More than that, made by an actual person, a real person. Now, for some people, they may think of, oh, their grandma, a great aunt, somebody who enjoys baking, and also feeding others with their delights. So you could almost think about something that's all natural ingredients, someone's talent, but that same individual gets a joy out of creating these. Now, when I saw that chocolate cake and when it came to mind, I was actually aware of the freshness, of the flavor that was bursting from it. And maybe I got this impression from something that I had growing up, but a real chocolate cake that was rich and delicious. And when you had it, it was like, oh, so special, so special. You know, maybe some of you, as you're thinking about goodness and homemade delights, could think about some homemade spaghetti sauce, or someone that knows how to make their own pizza, and they have their dough that they make from scratch, and they have things like basil that comes out of the garden, and they use fresh tomatoes. Do you get that sense of everything being real? And when you experience it, and compare it maybe with some other things you've had, you think, wow, you know what? This is marvelous. This is delicious. This, you know, this excites me on so many levels. And if you want to look backwards, thinking about so many of the other types of cake or food that might have been processed or otherwise tampered with, you think to yourself, wow, those things taste like cardboard compared to this real natural homemade cake or other, you know, delicious delight. So that was the first image that came to mind in connection with the word G for goodness. And I hope as we're going along on this, you'll say to yourself, I wonder how many things I attributed as being good or having intrinsic goodness that maybe really don't. I need to look at it. Now, here's a second impression that came to me, and probably because we're still in the season, but a freshly picked, aromatic, and sweet peach. Maybe one that you picked off a tree, or maybe one that you bought at a local family fruit stand. Now, I want you to compare this, and many people who live in the United States will probably relate as I do. How many times do you go to the grocery store and you see things displayed, they're put out, everything has the perfect coloring, everything is looks ideal, they're all the same size, and yet sometimes in looking at fruits, you pick one up and you smell it and nothing is there. Nothing is there. So it looks like it. It markets itself like it's fresh fruit. But you say to yourself, you know what? It's not sweet. It doesn't have life in it. It doesn't have that aroma that when you know you have a natural, newly picked piece of fruit, in this case, a peach, you say to yourself, wow, I could smell this thing from a few feet away. That would be another image or impression or essence of goodness. Now, those are things that pertain to food or things that are naturally grown. And I want to give you now a different story or picture to keep in mind. I want you to think about a newborn or a tiny little child. Now, this was not at all on my radar, but this thought about connecting a little child, an innocent little child, with the word goodness arrived in a text and video from a friend that I have in Tunisia. Not long ago, I had reached out to a woman I had met a couple of years ago when I was in Tunisia. She's the president of a dental college. Very successful woman, just really a darling and vivacious sort. And when I learned that Tunisia was experiencing some news, uprisings, let's say, I thought to reach out to her to see how she and her family and others in Tunisia were doing after hearing this news report of these political troubles. And immediately she responded, and here's what she said, and I want you to receive it as I'm giving it. Thank you, Maura. What a nice surprise to hear from you this morning. Even though we've had all these bad things, such as Corona, as in the virus, and political troubles, I am happy because I have a sweet, and she, I don't know how many E's she put in the word, a sweet small daughter. Now, I've met this woman, I've been in her company, she's an adult. I presumed, and I guess I knew that she had older children. So when she wrote to me, she also sent a couple of pictures and videos. And one of them especially struck me as, oh my goodness, this truly is goodness. It was a long table where everyone along the table was enjoying a family meal. I would say it was an extended family gathering. Everybody at this very long table was an adult. They were all big people. And yet the camera, the video piece that my friend had sent to me was of this little one, a tiny little girl, under two, who was sitting in her own booster seat among all these adults. And she's there, you know, I want to say so innocently, she's quietly enjoying a piece of, let's say, the heel of Italian bread that she's been eating while all of this chatter is going on around her. And as the camera zoomed in, presumably from her mom, I saw such a sweet, innocent, even unaware of herself, little child who was unaware of her pint size among all these very big people. Her very presence, her essence was goodness. Goodness. So I will tell you this. I wrote back to my friend and I'm thinking, I thought she had adult children. And she said, yes, Maura, it's true. We have a new little baby. And she sent me a few other pictures. And she said, and yet my daughter's expecting a baby in the coming months, so I'm also going to be a grandmother. Now, I want some of you to view goodness through those eyes. Maybe you have your own little child. Maybe you are a grandparent. Maybe you have, from another perspective, a little puppy, and there's something in it that is so real, so natural, so untouched, and so undefiled that it actually makes an impression upon your heart and upon your sense of being. Just like this woman who wrote to me, and she said, oh, you know, she said, in spite of our political problems here and the issues with this virus, she said, I have such a sweet joy in my life. And that sweet joy, those things that maybe we can't fabricate, that we can't develop on our own, they're just sort of there because they're natural. Those things are the goodness that so expand our hearts. They make us see things and feel things in ways that are truly uplifting, not only within ourselves, but also in the ways we view the world outside of us. Now, I want to look at my notes and see what else I had written down for this, because I know there's more. And hold on for just one second. Okay. Now, there was another word that came to mind as I was thinking about this word goodness, and you'll see how it all works together. The word was genuine, genuine, as opposed to counterfeit, so that when something is goodness to us, we receive it as if it's genuine. And let me tell you, when I looked up genuine, here are some of the synonyms: bona fide, certain, honest, legitimate, natural, palpable, positive, and pure. See, everything about the word genuine has to do with possessing, as the dictionary tells us, the claimed or attributed character, quality, or origin of something. It's authentic and it's real. So let's take a look at the antonyms. The antonyms for genuine include doubtful, dubious, affected, dishonest, false, insincere, and misleading. See, when things are genuine, they're free from any pretense or affectation or hypocrisy. We would refer to them as real. So if you want to think about the chocolate cake I introduced, I wasn't thinking about a boxed cake or one that was made by a big company and, you know, somebody's label was slapped on it for sale at Costco. I was thinking about a real chocolate cake made from scratch or the real fruit that was picked from a tree. So think about that in terms of goodness. It's like connecting with things that are real rather than things that are not quite what they appear to be. And so much of our world today has gotten the two somewhat confused, or let's say obscured. Okay, there's one more story I want to give to you that came to mind very recently before I was ready to record this. It was many years ago when I grew up in northern New Jersey and was going through school. I would often serve as a temp. Now, it was a different kind of a temp, but I would go to an assignment, let's say, to different companies, and oftentimes I was doing administrative work. Large corporations, there were so many where I grew up in northern New Jersey because it was right outside of New York City. And what came to mind today was one such company, very, very large. And I was working in, I want to say, their human resource department. Their primary business, as I recall, was chemicals. It was a big international chemical corporation, and this was a huge building that I was in. But oddly enough, I remember while there, as the temp, being part of an internal project. I was asked to participate in a taste test. So I was asked to taste and to rate and to compare and to provide feedback of certain liquids, I believe. I think they were all liquids that I was ingesting. And they were all little samples. And each one of these samples was being designed in their laboratory to mimic a fruit flavor. So there were several fruit flavors, and maybe they had three samples for each intended fruit flavor. Now, this is the late 1970s. I want you to think about this. And here I am sampling liquids created in a laboratory that had nothing to do with their essence and origins with the fruits. They were chemical based. And yet here I was sampling them as this, you know, probably high school, college age student and giving feedback as to what tasted most like what I would imagine to be that fruit. So this was very interesting. I'm thinking what they were creating for mass consumption in the 1980s, out of a very large chemical lab on the outskirts of New York City, was not genuine. And neither, I gather, did it qualify under all these descriptions that we've looked up as goodness. It doesn't qualify as goodness because it was masquerading or mimicking or creating a replacement for something that was real and genuine. So how does this all relate to the ABCs of now? As we're going backward in the alphabet, as we're reviewing a lot of these elementary concepts and ideas we all picked up in life, and as we're reviewing them in light of day, where we are right now, we're able to look at things somewhat in a rearview mirror and say, is this real? Do I need to keep doing what I'm doing, believing what I'm believing? Or can I unravel and really untether myself from some of these acquired belief systems. Well, somehow goodness figures into all of this. And I was wondering also, as to relate it to a larger perspective for all of us, how much in these days, in this current era, before the new one comes, how much of our current life experience, whether it is our food or our drink or the news we consume, the entertainment we watch or listen to, or even the technology that we often interact with, how much of this can not actually be qualified as genuine or, for that matter, goodness as it's been defined? So how does this G word of goodness fall into line with this whole ABCs of Now series? Well, what I want you to think about is this. This present world, it is going away. It's sort of imploding on its own, maybe through the course of its own weight of many things that really aren't real, that aren't genuine, that really don't embody goodness. So as we're watching this and experiencing this and reviewing it and seeing it even real time in our lives, there's a couple of things we can do as we even help prepare ourselves for a new world ahead where we'll be taking, let's say, hopefully, a more active and engaged role in co-creating the world that we want to see in the future after a lot of this artificiality passes away. Well, about a week or two ago, I heard this word very closely or very clearly in my mind, and it was this: pay attention. I had been listening to someone on a podcast, and he was discussing something that I had heard of before, maybe several times, and I never gave much mind to it. And the words pay attention struck me, as maybe you've even had that happen in your own life, where something happens. You could be reading a book, you could overhear something someone's saying, it could be something on the TV, or it could be something that comes to you from a dream, and you're like, wait a minute, I think I need to pay attention to that. Well, that's exactly how I felt. I want you to think about paying attention to things in your life that qualify as goodness. Maybe things that you've been living with, and maybe you can pose the question to say, oh, I'm going to start paying attention right now to everything around me and asking, is this truly goodness? Is it what it sets itself up to be? Or have I been hoodwinked because it's been so long since I connected with goodness, or let's say the authentic? That was something that really struck me, and it made a big difference in terms of my awareness. And you know, awareness, when we're going through change, really is wonderful because it helps position us for knowing what's going on, and then also we have a greater awareness so that we could sometimes change our perspectives. The other thing I wanted, that came to mind was this: learn, perhaps again, to discern real and goodness from maybe low-end counterfeits that lack the very essence of truth, the very best part. Learn to discern. Imagine that. Think about yourself. You do, we do, have that capacity within us if we're willing to focus in and pay attention and maybe to some degree prioritize. And the third thing having to do with goodness is choice. I want you to think about this. We all have opportunities in life to choose. So think about focusing in on, or aligning with, or relating to, or even, when possible, recreating goodness in our lives. That means maybe giving up that perfect looking peach to say, you know what, I may buy the one that has a slight brownish spot on it because it smells so good and I know it's fresh and I know where it came from. Or anything of that matter that reminds you and refreshes you as to what is real and genuine. So those are my thoughts on this episode of the ABCs for Now, which is G is for goodness. May you discover and in some cases, rediscover all the goodness that's in you and around you in life, and may it continuously bloom so that even as you move forward, you're moving forward and helping to bring more of that goodness to light. So until the next time, this has been Maura with Maura for You. Bye-bye.
More from St. Petersburg's own Maura Sweeney at mauraforyou.com.